I'm back in my building the other day. I was looking at stuff like, hey, wait a minute, it's just a perfect project.
Yeah, that is
That, and there is a physical address on the building. I don't have it, but there is.
remember your plans for tonight, but
Oh, we're still in that club up there.
right,
Please silence phones or noise makers. I'm ready to
do.
Well, thank you for that. Sarah, have
Yes.
you heard from Cindy today?
I have not heard from Cindy.
It's usually the last minute, but we'll go ahead and get started. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. It's 10 o'clock. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Roll call. Cindy Ballard is not president, present. Excuse me, Sarah Hurd.
Here.
Michael Boyd, present. Carrie Jerome,
Present.
Dan Henson, present. Chief is present. Any changes for the agenda? Having done, I move forward. Financial reports, Carrie.
I sent them off yesterday. Did you look at them at all?
Yes.
Okay, anybody have any questions on that? The figure looks pretty darn good. The end of November.
I didn't do honest
Oh,
with
you didn't? Oh, no, I don't. I didn't send it to you, but I should, huh? Okay, I will do that. I'll make a note.
No changements or adjustments.
There's something else I want to report on too.
Okay.
Over the course of the last month or so, we've been receiving at least a month over. Been receiving a lot of Klamath County tax payments. And so the majority of those tax payments were transferred to our LGIP account. In total, I transferred roughly 46,000 into the LGIP account. There was 21 plus hundred dollars in there that brought us up to roughly 48,500 in that account. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of what we've been doing. As far as bank balances go, in the EMS account, we have $32,483.30. In the fire account, we have $5,662.37. And in the LGIP account, I just reported that. So, anybody have any questions?
Of the money in the LGIP, is there any EMS funds that have been transferred over into there?
No, just the Klamath County tax.
This insurance payment for the truck is going to go in the fire account and stay in there. I want $12,000 to $20,000 worth of working capital in that account all the time, and everything else should be in LGIP unless anybody has objections to that.
Totally agree.
But I think every dollar that we get that doesn't need to be sitting in our regular checking account should be in that LGIP account.
Yep.
I also think that the LGIP account should get broke apart and separated into
Yeah.
Sub-accounts that we can put earmarked grant funds in.
Yes.
This fuels reduction program that we're doing, we're trying to burn through $20,000 drop in the bucket for a program like this. So I am actively seeking out more money to continue it once this money is up. And so we'll have to be, I have a great spreadsheet that was very graciously built for me by Kate, which is awesome, actually. So it's been easy for me to track wages for that program. And we're going to need to be, all of our wages are paid out of that EMS account. So every month we're going to have to make a transfer while we're doing this program right through the summer. Also, just move it over to that. Just it simplifies things.
Into the LGIP account?
No, the EMS account for wages to be drawn out of.
Okay.
Because the payroll lady only pulls out of that one account.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to be moving the appropriate amount of money every month over.
Okay. I'll just keep me posted on that then.
Yeah.
And then the other, if we get grant money and put it in there, it does take a resolution by the board to expend that money out of the LGIP to move it. So,
and it shouldn't be hard to create multiple sub-accounts for multiple amounts of money that are beholden to different grants.
Yeah, and that's just
the whole purpose of that particular, you know. That's why they have it there. It's a bit, all these agencies got a pile of money they can't spend except for on one thing, and they might as well sit in a high interest.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll look at that as far as breaking it down into a couple accounts, because you will have the LGIP, the EMS, and the fire. Those breakdowns.
Well, in the LGIP, it'd be grants, fire, and EMS.
Grants,
yeah, and inside grants, it will maybe be broken down into multiple grants at some point. If I have my way,
yeah, well, yes, because they'll keep tabs on each one,
yeah.
Okay,
anything else on financial reports, questions, comments?
We need to have a motion to approve the finance.
I'd entertain a motion to approve the financial reports as prepared.
I'll make the motion to approve.
In a second.
I'll second it.
We'll call vote. Sarah?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Terry?
Aye.
Dan? Aye. Motion carries unanimous. Chief's report.
It's been a low call volume month. Unexpectedly, partly because of the weather. I think more like goes off, the weather's been beautiful. So year to date, we're at 506 total calls for service, which is down. We ended the year last year at about 650. So we're not going to make those 74 calls up between now and the end of the year. Anyway. So since the last board meeting, there's been 27 911 calls into us, and 23 of those with the ambulance. But they only resulted in going to the hospital 15 times. So that's about half the call volume for the ambulance that I would like to see in a month. The good news is that since late November, is part of the reason why the EMS account looks like it does. Since late November, payments that weren't coming in due to the government shutdown since the 1st of October have been trickling in. So Medicaid payments were always being made because those were state funded directly to us. They're state funded. The state can argue with the feds about where that money comes from, but we get paid from the state on Medicaid. So that continued the whole time. The payments that were held were Medicare payments and VA payments, and they weren't frozen as much as they laid everybody off, and there was nobody there to process claims. So now everybody's back to work. They're processing claims. There's a huge backlog nationally. And so all of those runs that we got, we will be getting paid for and have been starting to get paid for. So the bank account being up over 30K legitimately with ambulance income before the first of the year is pretty close to what I expected when we had this conversation in October, that it would take us at least to the first of the year to catch back up. And so I would ask the board to entertain, if not this month, next month, putting the crew back on their pager time. The Ground Emergency Medical Transportation Program. So my head is about to explode because I've been for weeks now trying to get everything together for these guys. It is supplemental payments on the Medicaid side. This is a Oregon-specific program. Our biller, Blake Tactical, is owned by a man named Blake Jameson, who actually built this program. And it was approved in 2016. And then again in 2021 with a second half to itself. So there's two parts to this. I spent a weekend and went through all of our call run for the fiscal year 24-25, pulled out all the ambulance runs, and gave them the dates and the times and the disposition of each run. Did we transport or not transport? Or we canceled, patient refusal, all that. Got it in by the deadline. Turns out I had misunderstood the assignment. And he didn't need all the ambulance calls. He needed every single call. Because the first half of this GEMT thing is called fee-for-service. And what they do is it is only for fire-based EMS. And they recognize that rural providers who run an ambulance, number one, don't have 10, 15-minute calls. Number two, don't get paid their full bill by Medicare, Medicaid, and incur costs that are not covered or recoverable in insurance billing. So they need every single call for that fiscal year, and I'll have to do this every year. They pull out the percentage that are EMS related, not just ambulance transports. But these would include runs because everywhere in America, there's more fire trucks available at any given time than there are ambulances. So there's always the fire truck dispatched to every medical call everywhere. Those runs typically are not paid. That is fire tax money. Those guys are, you know what I mean? So this pays rural agencies that are volunteer. They get a little bit of credit for those fire dispatches and things like that. So what ends up happening, and they also want our budget. So if they decide that our agency is 83% EMS, basically, then they go through our entire budget and we get a certain amount of credit for 83% of our office supplies, 83% of our whatever.
Heating oil.
Right. So that payment, once they calculate all that, based on the number of actual transports we've done, we are assigned a supplemental payment. Blake Jameson charges us 10% to produce. Once I've given him all the data, it's another 35-page financial document that he prepares, charges us 10% on the fee-for-service side. He does not charge 10% for the other half of it. That I won't have that number for a couple weeks. The fee-for-service side, on the 15th of May, we will receive a payment of $35,000 based on fiscal year 24-25. In a couple, the other half of it is community care organization, and it is basically you get a supplemental payment based on if you are transporting in an actual real emergency. Okay, the first one is all calls. The second one is how many calls are real actual emergencies. And so this is where charting comes in to play pretty significantly on the billing side. Because 2 in the morning toe pain because you kicked the coffee table 3 weeks ago is not an emergency. And most people don't understand that ambulance service is for life-threatening emergencies. It's not because you don't have a taxi to town or it's inconvenient for your spouse to take you to urgent care. But that is a whole bunch of calls. So this is paying us extra money for people who really, really actually needed to go to the hospital. And it's two different payments, ALS versus BLS emergency. So I don't know that that will be as much. It'll probably be less, but it will be significant. So
does that help to recoup some of the costs? Would we either meet EMS halfway or transport to the helicopter to the air? Okay, good.
Yeah, otherwise we have to have an IGA with all those entities, and that's a nightmare.
What's an IGA?
an intergovernmental agreement.
Okay.
And the IGA with District 1 would basically say that they would get paid the full amount for the call and then reimburse us our $25 a mile from the scene to where the intercept took place. So that is not something that I personally am going to tackle with everything else I got, because I, quite frankly, deal with those guys plenty, and that's going to be a nightmare. So agreements with District 1 are heavily, heavily leaning to District 1.
Yeah, I just can imagine. You know.
So just based on the call volume this month, 85% of our calls are units.
Ish, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that,
yeah,
is that
pretty regular? Somewhere regular? Between 75 and 85% for sure.
So we would potentially pick up another chunk, maybe 75% of.
We will, I'm guessing that the other half of this is going to be around 20,000.
Okay.
But that is a
guess.
The 35,000 is came from Blake, who does this every year for everybody. And you know what I mean? So yeah. Our payment will be 10% less of that. That's yeah. that's a pretty good number we can count on. The other one is based on the calculation that's done at OHA for the other half, and we'll know about that in a couple of weeks. So
cool.
Yeah, having to go back through and build out the spreadsheet for like more than 600 calls was enough to I can do data entry and stuff, but I'm not fast. And so it was kind of.
You still have all your hair. You
barely. Fuels mitigation program is in swing. Crews have been working since mid-November. We've been on half dozen properties or so, done free defensible space assessments on probably that many more. Right about now, with the purchase of tools, fuel, PPE for the program, along with wages up to the 15th, we're about 10 grand into that. Required $23,000 spend down. And I have a plus or minus in there because I don't know the exact number. I will Friday, tomorrow, I have a report due to the state. And it will have all of our receipts for this program up to date, how we've spent every dollar, and how much money we have to spend, and how we're spending it, and when I expect to have it spent. Part of the, I'm not 100% sure, is it was a $71,000 grant, and there's 10% is allowable for administration costs. I have a soft agreement with the grants managers that they are just going to give me that, and we will not have to account for it. That's the 10% that is just lost in everybody's whatever, paying the electric bill and how are they. So she was clear to say that some agencies have used that as a justification for paying wages to somebody that's administering the grant, and that is not the spirit of that particular section. So I am going off the basis that we are not going to have to account for $7,100 of the $30,000 that was originally misspent in this grant. Okay. That's my hoping on a prayer, and having several conversations with the grant managers where they said, I think we can do that. I'll know for sure after this report is filed tonight. But that's the best I can do. She did tell me that if the weather locks us out, I actually have until like mid-June to get this done. And I thought I had to have it done by like the 1st of April. And that was going to be tough if the weather, like if we get mudded out or snowed out or whatever, we're not going to pick it back up till spring. So, but I have till June without an official ask for an extension. So.
Good.
It should be easy to get it done before June. So, on the 3rd of December, I hit a deer on Springer Road in command truck. Next morning, filed a claim with the insurance company. The first conversation was, we need estimates for mechanical repair and body damage. And I said, yeah, okay, but we're a frontier agency if it's an hour from town. I smacked the deer. The truck was disabled. I had my guy come with another truck, and we short lined it home. There's going to be at least a $900 tow bill to get this truck to town to get whatever estimate that you guys want. So how do you really want to do this? And so I sent him a bunch of photographs. That was on Friday, and they had a check cut for basically the full amount that we had the truck insured for, less than $100 deductible by Tuesday. So Dan and I ran up and spent way too much time in Portland and Vancouver on Tuesday, but were able to come home with a truck. So now I'm in the process of stripping everything off the Chevy, putting it on this Ford we bought. The Chevy will have to be listed at GovDeals and auctioned, but I only got to get all the stuff off of it first. It's not that bad. Okay. The deer like took out the drive. If it would have been a half a second later, the deer would have headbutted the driver. Basically took out the left front corner and then the grill. Like, so that pushed in the transmission cooler and the radiator. Well, I was pretty close to home. I was just down there by the JB, and the truck was running fine. The truck didn't even hiccup. So I figured, if it's not going to get hot, I'll just limp it home. Well, then it didn't have transmission. So basically, the transmission cooler got wiped out, and the truck ran fine until it pumped all the fluid out and couldn't. But if you go out there right now, it starts right up. No problem. No, not a hiccup. So I'm pretty sure. And the front fender, it's a little mumped up, but honestly, it's not that bad. The hood's fine. So it's a grill, a headlight, a transmission cooler, and a radiator is what they towed that truck for. Wow. So the truck itself still has a significant amount of value. I expect we will not have a hard time selling it. We're not going to get a bunch of money for it, but we'll get something back out of it.
Just out of question, do we have to sell it?
No, we can do whatever we want with it, except insure it.
Could we fix it to use it as a...
If you want it with no insurance through SDAO, we cannot insure it through our insurance company.
It's a total.
With a total.
No, I get it. I get that. But I mean, would it be beneficial to the department?
With no insurance.
Could we get even like, couldn't get liability?
Not through SDAO. I had this conversation. Like, yeah. There is no insuring that rig through SDAO. With a salvage title, guys.
Okay.
It's got to get stripped and go to GovDeals and go away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They were pretty clear about that. So.
Yeah. I was just thinking like for a brush truck for mounting a tank in the back of it or something like
not
that.
Not 23 quart ton.
Okay.
So, that stuff gets heavy real fast. But what it is quite frankly good for is somebody grabbed it for their farm truck. It's a runner. It's a good truck. It really is. It's a shame that it got totaled for the little amount that they totaled it for. But somebody will buy it. I don't know about it. Training going into the first of the year, I have a pretty full training schedule for the spring. DPSST holds what they call Learn Fire School. I generally attend every year. There's leadership classes and hands-on classes. Depending on who I have here to cover the district, I'm planning on taking at least two crew with me, maybe three. So that will be a couple hotel rooms in third week of February. DPSST provides breakfast and lunch, but I'll have to buy them dinner. So that is coming up in February. I have been registered for an NWCG S330 class at RCC at the Table Rock campus for 3 days in April. So I am certified through DPSST as a single resource boss and an engine boss beyond that. And this is for strike team task force leader. So in order to send five trucks out of the county, we got a task force leader, certified task force leader. We only have three in the county. We have three certified task force leaders in the county, three or four trainees. So I would be a trainee for the next 2 to 5 years, you know. But what it does is it allows it allows me to go out on more more comm flags. And with that, I also, DPSST is the agency that's responsible for certifying all non-medical emergency personnel in state Oregon. So law enforcement, fire personnel, private security, anybody that is required to be licensed in any kind of regard like that has to go through Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. I applied for and was granted certified instructor status for all wildland classes up to single resource boss. So that essentially makes District 3 an accredited training facility for wildland classes, which is a huge deal for us as far as pushing paperwork through to get certifications for folks that we can get out on conflicts. I mean, Chiloquin and the tribe sent a crew, each of them sent a crew, and fast forward to Los Angeles last January. It takes a while to get paid on those, but the money is very good. Everybody's getting paid for it now, basically. And that was 2 weeks last January. But that is how this agency, from where I sit, that's the only way this agency gets to a point where we can stack a war chest on the fire side, that we can get to a point in the future where the board at that time can decide, okay, we have X number of dollars in the bank for the last 5 years. We have enough money to offer somebody a salary, an actual salary for the chief. Shamol pays their guy $30,000 or $36,000 a year. Chiloquin pays their guy $90,000 a year. It will be up to the board at that time to figure out what they're doing. And at that point, you can find, recruit, and hire a real freaking chief. But I don't know any other way to stack funds. I mean, a type six is like $55 an hour and it's paid port to port. So 14-day conflags worth $15,000, $20,000 to the agency, not including the crew wages. So that is the path that I'm going down with this agency. We can all talk about working towards an all hazards agency, but it's just not in the cards for us. This is not a structured agency. We can pretend we are what we want. The truth of the matter is, without having staffing full time and the distances that we have to travel to even get to structure fires, by the time we get there, it's going to be a pile on the ground. That's what we do. We put piles on the ground out. And that, even if it was right here in Sprague River proper, it's going to be 20 minutes before we can get trucks rolling out to that. And then that is a very, very long time. So we're not saving million-dollar houses and grabbing 10-year-old girls out of the second store window at this agency, and we're not going to be for any time in the foreseeable future. What we are is the poster child for wildland urban interface. We got a bunch of people that like living out in the trees. That is my experience level since the 1900s is wildland urban interface. That is what is important to me. That is what I drive home when it comes to the training. That is what I want these guys to be good at. That is what I want to send them out of the county to get paid to go do. And I have the ability to do that now. The state has actually rubber stamped my ability. In order to be certifiable training, you got to get a roster that's pre-printed with the instructor's name and DPSST number, and you can only get those directly from DPSST. So they've already sent me one. So it's been an uphill battle for a while, but we're there. So it's a big deal for us. It's also a big deal for other small rural agencies that need certifiable training for their folks on the wildland side. On the medical side, this one is a little more heavy, but I am preparing an emergency medical responder, first responder course for our guys on the fire. It's something they've been asking for a long time. It is the very first initial level pre-hospital medical licensing in pretty much anywhere. It has to be accredited through OHA. I've already applied. It's going to happen in March. Start the first week of March. It'll be three-hour sessions a week for 6 weeks. And then there's a national exam at the end and a psychomotor exam. Then there's fingerprints and licensing. So for our, I have the books, each student's going to get a workbook and a student textbook and a workbook. Depending on where I can find the deal, it looks like that's going to be somewhere around $125 to $140 per student. I have opened this up to Bonanza Fire personnel as well as a courtesy because they are saving us so much money by housing the youngins over there during the week. I don't expect there to be, I expect there to be 10 at max total. So probably five or six from ours and maybe three or four from Bonanza at the most. So that would be a certain amount of cost. Fingerprints are like $66 a head. And then licensing at the OHA level for the EMR cert is like $45. So it's another $100 on top of that. Typically, the agency would pay for all of that. We obviously wouldn't pay to license Bonanza's folks, but I would sponsor their textbooks.
Good call.
Is my opinion on that. So,
do we retain the textbooks after it's over? Are they good for more than one time?
No, the student keeps them.
Okay.
Reference material after the fact. Yeah.
Okay.
I am reluctant. So, there is an option to buy these books used, like on eBay, but the discount is not that much. And buying the books new comes with registration with an outfit that actually publishes the books, that is online access for study guides and chapter quizzes and stuff like that. It's very beneficial to each student. If they're struggling with a topic, they can go through a practice test 100 times to get what they need. So, and you're talking like $20 difference in the textbook. And so we're buying less than 10 of these things. It's just not bad. So,
just a question. Are you going to open this cross to the public?
So that is a question for you guys. If a community member wanted to go get this of their own accord, this course costs about $500. We obviously provide it to other agency personnel at no cost, even if they're going to buy their own books or whatever. But opening up to the public is a different question. So that's for you guys to decide. Personally, I would rather not have to tailor certain conversations that I can have with fire personnel to the general public, myself as the instructor, but it's not out of the question. Like if you guys say you can
would it be more appropriate to offer first help CPR community level?
Yeah. That's be more appropriate.
Yeah.
But I think.
So if we're gonna do that, that's what I would.
That's different. That's down the road.
Yeah.
So unless anybody has any questions for me, that's all I really have for Chief's report. I did email it to each of you. It went out about 10 minutes before I left my house this morning. But you do have a copy of this in here.
Anything else? Thanks, Chief.
Yep.
All good stuff.
Very good. Thank you. Ambulance funding. Based on comments in the budget, financial reports, and based on what the chief has stated, I would entertain a motion that we authorize chief to go back to the standby pager time for crews, effective immediately. Looking for a motion?
I would say let's do it effective the first.
First of December or first of the year? First of January.
I will make that motion to put them back on pager time. That's first of the year.
Roll call vote. Sarah.
That means better second.
Aye.
Oh, Sarah did.
Okay.
Mike?
Aye.
Carrie?
Aye.
Dan? Aye. Unanimous. So let's move forward.
Perfect.
Thank the crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank the whole cap.
The GEMT thing is going to, like, This was never something that was available to like Bonanza Ambulance. So when they were starting to, they tried for years to just be volunteer, and then the call volume just gets too much, and you can't cover the amount of calls that we get in a year in 1,500 square miles with volunteers in 2025. It's just not. They were a private ambulance service, so they were not able to get funding, the supplemental payments from Medicaid, because that's only for fire-based government-owned ambulance services. So when they decided to start paying, they hired paramedics from District 1 and paid them $20 an hour to come sit at the bay. Well, it didn't take them very long to learn the same thing that we learned, that this does not. So pretty soon they were not available half the time, and they were not available 70% of the time, and then they were not available 80% of the time. It's just a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Like, if we went to volunteer and that crew said, nah, we're not doing this, we're going belly up.
Yeah.
So I think with 6 months after fire tax money coming in November, and then 6 months later, us getting a fat boost from this Medicare supplemental payment is going to change the calculus for that ambulance
significantly.
So
I haven't heard any reports back from Stephanie and her husband about doing some fundraising. I don't know. She said they were going to do some stuff, but I don't think they say.
I meant to go to the board meeting this month, and I just missed it.
So. Yeah, I missed it too. I didn't find out about it. So
I think it's the first Thursday.
First Thursday?
At 6, I think is what she told me. And I just missed it. So I'm going to miss the Fire Defense Board meeting this week too.
And that's a Bonanza?
That's for Bonanza Fire, yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted to show up and thank them for... they have saved us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Not just the crew, but the agency over there. So both of those agencies, District 5 and Bonanza Rural Fire Protection, have had not the best relationship with the East County Ambulance Service for a long, long time. So... that's good. It's good enough.
Thank you for all your effort in that too. Again, thank you.
Old business committee reports. Mike, I think the only committee we have.
I don't have any to report this month.
Sarah, the AUP with Maladon.
Actually, let me take that. Let me roll that back. I do have something I want to ask you guys. As board and as chief, I would like to ask each of the other fire districts that our ambulance partners with have each of their board presidents write us a note, a letter explaining the communal effort that we're putting forth, the combined effort. So that I can probably, I'm going to try to approach the tribe, and they like to see partnerships in their grant writing and stuff.
If you're going to approach the tribes, you should absolutely depend on that. A lot of the times the funding that they put out, like Chilliwack gets funded on, because Chilliwack services a large tribal population. We do too,
yeah,
specifically in Bayton. So I would love to see some kind of partnership with the tribes for sure.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you guys as a board, how do you feel about me writing a letter? I'll send it to you guys first and have you approve it and say, hey, each of the chiefs or the board presidents, just say, hey, look, we're working with this ambulance group because they love partnerships in their grant writing. So
on that note, I do have to go back actually. He's done something.
Go ahead.
I forgot to put in the chief's report. I finally got the county emergency manager kind of pinned in the corner about
the ASA,
ASA agreement. So I was hoping that I would have something in writing today for you guys to sign, but I might ask that you guys reconvene for a special meeting. Yeah, maybe next week. Thigpen finally relented and said that if Chiliquin and us could come up with a map of the current fire district boundaries and the current ambulance service area boundaries and a map of the proposed newly moved ambulance service area boundary, and Chiliquin's board and this board were able to sign the same piece of paper, he will not accept a resolution from Chiliquin and a resolution from us. So I was hoping that Chief Stacy and his assistant chief, Casey Lanning, were trying to get the maps together this week. Their board meeting was yesterday, last night. And so I told them if they can get that together and get their board to sign it, I would drive out there and pick it up and so that I could have it here.
Yeah.
And
we just need 48 hours.
It clearly didn't happen. So, but it is in the works, and I expect in the next week, maybe 2 weeks, to have that in my hand. And then once both boards have signed the deal, then Ian will present it to the county commissioners and it will be submitted to the state. And at that point, we will be the ambulance service provider for
our district,
our whole district. So okay. Well, it's been like an uphill battle too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That. That's but great.
We're on the precipice of
well,
that.
Just let us know when you want us to get together.
I will. Because I know there's meeting
48 hours.
Yeah. So that's fine. As soon as I have it all.
Perfect. That's great.
So yeah, and Mike, back to your subject.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I think we can. I don't know if we would take a just direction from the board, or do you want a motion?
Direction from the board's fine. As long as everybody's in agreement that you feel comfortable with me doing this, I'll run it by Nate before I get a hold of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
We have.
Thank you.
We have good relationships with every other fire district inside our area.
Right. You know, we got a Christmas card from Bly.
We get Christmas cards every year.
Are we sending any?
No.
And I think we should.
Oh. You're elected.
Fine. I just think
you're elected.
I agree. Like, we get multiples every year. We get them. We get them.
Fire district number one.
Yeah.
So
I'm all for it. I don't disagree with it.
Because I have that on New Christmas.
Cool.
But yeah, people are all waiting for me to send a Christmas
with
card
that letter.
Personally. Thing,
well,
really, unfortunately. So somebody else has to, like,
Yep. I'll do that.
Sarah, back to you.
I have an appointment with them on the 29th, and we will be filing an extension.
Is that 6 months, or do you know how long?
I don't know how long.
Okay.
I'm really trying to get out of the $20,000. So I'm going to work with the state of Oregon, see if we can just do a financial report. There are options.
Is the hang up the lack of financials from?
I think it would be better if we could just work with the state of Oregon. There's other reports that we can file. So I'm going to work with them and see if we can just.
Like through the Secretary of State, you're going to have to argue.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything that you need from me?
I will know next, or not next week, but the following week.
Okay.
I'll probably need everything we have, payroll reports, all of that stuff.
Yeah, whatever. I'll meet you down there, whatever. We'll go through everything.
And do you have the point of contacts that Cameron developed before she left the
board? I just made an appointment with the CPA firm. I don't know who I'm meeting with.
At the state level, there's. So I've been in touch with. Been calling a couple times and no answer, and I don't leave voicemail and just a generic inbox at the Secretary of State. So I got an email I sent to, I think it's Mary Olson, who Cameron dealt with at Secretary of State level. So there is a couple people in the office there that Cameron dealt with. So I'll make sure to get those emails forwarded to you with the contact info. And then my contact with them is to do with the line of credit, which is, I think, the next on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So the Secretary of State lists a document in their website for our fire district that says there was a administrative dissolution of the district in April 3rd of last year, after Cameron spent a month with them on the phone and talking to them and stuff like that. There's a follow-up listing for this dissolution of the district, but there's no documents listed with it. So on our line of credit in their investigation into us before we are able to establish new banking with them and a line of credit, they said, hey, you guys aren't even listed anymore as a corporation. So I sent all the email information. I didn't know.
Cameron Spent.
Oh yeah,
yes. Ever clearing that up?
Yes,
she did clear it up.
Yes, she did clear it up, and that's what all the emails say. So I forward all those emails to the bank, and the only reply I got was, "Well, maybe you should follow up with the state, because I think the listing was like 3 days after the last email from Cameron and from the state Secretary of State." So I've been working through that mud hole, and.
They're a pain in the butt.
It's been a very big pain in the butt. Unfortunately, they're about one of the only banks that will actually give a line of credit to a district like us. So this has been like, I'm in some snack combat. You detained your hair?
Yeah.
I'm surprised I still have mine.
I'm glad we've been able to squeak by.
Yes, because this has just been quagmire.
Barely squeaked by.
Yes.
We're on the mend now, I think.
And I think we're going to look good with that. GM 18 GM.
Yeah, I expect it to be around $50,000. I've got maybe between 50 and 60. So he's going to charge us 10% on the 35.
Yeah,
he doesn't charge us $1 per second.
Yeah,
he's already done all the work. It's not he doesn't. So that I thought was cool too. We're not paying 10% of 50 or 60.
Yeah, so that's going to, I think, give us some, and it sounds like it's going to be a yearly thing for a while.
This program is built for agencies exactly like us. Like, we are a poster child for it. So it's going to be some
annual.
Yeah, we are. Every year. I'll have to go through this every year.
So,
but we'll get it.
So if the state of Oregon thinks we're...
Well, it's just a line in there. It said administrative dissolution, but there's no document supporting it. All the other things listed in our agency has the document supporting that one. There's no,
like, somebody fat fingered an option and then didn't have supporting documents. Didn't clear.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be that big of a deal though.
So I'm still waiting. Well, like I said,
you talk to the right person anyway.
Yeah. And I'm going back with the people that are familiar with us that Cameron had the working relationship with. So I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hoping that we can get a resolution on that, because that was, I think it was within 3 days of Cameron's last email with them.
Weird.
So it's like this is out of left field, and again, there's no documentation.
Okay.
So, and the bank's not going to move forward until we get that cleared up. And just for information, this is Firefighters First Credit Union out of Los Angeles.
We'll probably get a GE and T payment before we get a line of credit.
Yeah, probably. But that's the line of credit. Legal counsel, because of everything that's going on in my life, I have not followed up with that since we started getting tax money in, but I will be making the phone calls. There is a short list of people that were recommended to us by SDAO, so I'll pick that list back up and move forward.
Last year's Winter Fire School, the class I took was new chief challenges. Some sat in that room. The guy who taught it was the fire chief for Cincinnati. Had 1,700 firefighters working under him. There were 32, I think, other chiefs or chief officers from around the state of Oregon in that class. It was 2 days long, and I bet we spent 35% of the time talking about litigation and making sure that the agents, because the premise of the whole class was teaching chiefs how to limit liability to their own agencies, and legal counsel is not something that we should be
without. You know, we were very it was very beneficial for the agency and the board members to have had Mike Spencer donate his time and efforts here. I don't think we're going to be able to get somebody to donate the time. And the initial retainer that I heard about was like $6,000. That coupled with the $10,000 to $20,000 for the AUP represents about half of our fire budget. So it's one of those things that we're going to
have to do this.
Going to have to do. And hopefully we'll find somebody that is willing to take an annual retainer and maybe monitor, not have to drive out here our board meetings.
No, we don't need legal counsel monitoring board meetings. We need somebody that we can call when things go sideways.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we need.
Yeah.
We don't need a lawyer monitoring.
No, board. We do need some advice now and then for the board meeting, because the complaints, the ethics complaints, one of the things they talked about, they didn't fine the board members $1,000 per offense per board member. That up to $1,000, because we were under advice of legal counsel, was their given excuse for not fining the board for our minor transgressions. But it would be beneficial for the board to have that opportunity to have somebody to talk to.
Absolutely.
Can your legal counsel sit in like on Zoom?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They could potentially sit in on Zoom and listen to what the board has to say, or they could just review. But we don't have actually minutes anymore.
I'll pay a lawyer $15 a minute to monitor mundane public meetings. It's nonsense. You're not going to find another fire district board or water district board or any other special district in this state that routinely has legal counsel monitoring their average public board meetings.
Correct.
We need somebody that we can call when shit goes awry. Yeah. That's what we need.
Does anybody have any suggestions?
There was a list that SDAO provided, so I'll go back to that list and make contacts. Now, my experience on city council was we had legal counsel there every meeting.
That's not a thing in this county.
No.
No way.
Maybe it should be, Dan. Maybe this county worked a little different, but it's definitely not.
I don't think county commissioners even have legal
counsel. County commissioners do not have legal counsel. So there's not a thing anybody pays for out here. And I mean, if we had somebody that would do it for free, like my press, one thing. But if we're actually going to get dinged every time we do that, I got a hard time with that.
Last thing on the agenda is the SDAO board training, and I have not had a chance to go onto the website. So I would, at this point in time, my recommendation is we're past the normal late summer, early fall
board training. Do you guys have access to Vector Solutions?
Vector?
Yes.
I got a spray bottle that I spray ants with.
I will send emails out.
What is it?
With links to Vector Solutions. Well, it's free training available from SDAO that you can sell in your house and take.
Yeah. Yes.
It's used in the fire service a bunch. SDAO uses it for a bunch of trainings, some of which are annual, have to be done every year. So if you guys do not have access to Vector Solutions, I will see what I can do to remedy that situation.
Yeah, please do. And then the only other thing we had from SDAO was we did some training, and I'm not sure if it was through Vector Solutions, online last year.
Yeah.
Before the board change. But I think
it's one of those platforms where you can log in, you create your own personal, that's tied to the agency or whatever, but you have your own personal credentials, you log in, and then there is a huge library of things that you can educate yourself about. Some of them are 15-minute classes, and some of them are 5-hour classes, or longer. So every single one of you should have access to that.
Thank
for
you.
For sure.
Thank you.
I will figure that out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of figuring stuff out,
I can't figure anything else out today. Figuring out is
adamant.
What's up?
The Facebook page. I'm still
Oh,
on an admin.
okay. I tried to fix that.
I know you did.
And what I found out is that the only admin to the Facebook page that has all the permissions is our buddy Dennis.
Okay.
So those permissions need to be given to all the admins or transferred to
yes
one of us. But
he gave me access to it.
No, he didn't.
No, right. He's not on there. I went and looked.
You have to go in and click it. So when we were sat in that meeting, because
he said he was going to do it later. He never gave me that. No.
Yeah,
he
I can't. I'm an admin. Dan's an admin. You're an admin. None of us can give him access.
Access to it.
Dennis is the only one who can. So those permissions have to be moved.
Yeah, he has to go into the Facebook and under admin permissions, he has to release it.
So none of us can give my.
Can Pam do that?
If she has her dad's login, I would.
She may.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. But
no,
this is
this is not a good time to ask.
This is
no,
something
no,
important.
No.
I don't like.
No.
Not bugging Cam.
No. Good. Please. No, I don't. No.
No.
That, I agree.
This could pen. Put it on the.
I just didn't know if we found another workaround. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
well, I think that's the only workaround. Is there some questions?
Yeah.
Mike tells me. Mike sends me these things. He's like, hey, I'm going to put this on the Facebook page. Okay. Next thing I know, it's on the Facebook page. I had no idea. It's like this whole round and around mulberry bush where he makes something, sends it to me. I say, yeah, thumbs up. And then he sends it to Sarah. And then Sarah posts it on the Facebook page.
I got it done.
Yeah, I didn't realize we were, you know, driving from here to San Francisco via Bend. It seemed like it was going on, man.
That's how the mail works.
Man.
So
we get better.
One more thing on the Christmas cards. I want to get a list of, you know,
agencies.
Yeah. And make a list. I'll draw up a spreadsheet so that I can do a merge and all that stuff.
Good.
Because I think it's important. I really do.
And then for the good of the order,
not every agency in the county or just the agencies we routinely deal with.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Including like dispatching those folks and all that stuff.
All of that.
Okay.
Last year we did a holiday party for the fire crew. I forgot to mention it last month.
Those guys don't like free food.
Well, we also had an issue with some people getting sick following the meeting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yes. So I think it was a certain table that was all gathered and they all got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was the food.
No, it wasn't the food.
So I don't know if that's something we want to explore again. Thank you. Or just do a basic breakfast before
I want to get cards.
Let's do it after first of the year.
Well, yeah, we have to be after first year.
How about gift cards like to Starbucks or not Starbucks, but to Dutch Bros or wherever everybody gets their coffees or whatever?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Think about it.
But anyway, a gathering of some kind. And it could be more social, less formal.
Do you know how much time I have to spend with those guys already? sorry. Forgot you were here. No,
So think about it, and we'll just send a suggestion for a date. If it's before our training, so you'll get a better chance of people being there without an additional show up, that would be kind of my direction.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we can just come in and just be a little more casual.
Into January or something.
Yep.
After everybody calms down a bit.
Yes, yes.
Works for me.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? I'll make a motion to adjourn it.
I'll second that.
Roll call vote, Sarah.
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Very
aye.
Meeting adjourned at 10:58. Yes, ma'am.
And just want to thank the board for all that they're doing in progress forward, and it seems like it's going forward very well. And I want to especially thank you, Nate, for everything you're doing with the fire department part. getting the training, for be a instructor. Hats off to you. I'm thankful that you're doing that.
Yes.
It's well, you're hanging in there.
Yes. Yes.
Appreciate yeah, it.
It's a lot of work.
I know.
Yeah. I just want to say thanks.
I have to get a new life.